Good morning, church. Good morning. Woohoo! Let's do that again. Good morning, church. Good morning. Indeed. Welcome to this wonderful worship service at Spanish Fort United Methodist Church. Today is a double blessing. On the one hand, we get to honor our mothers, and on the other, this is also the day when we recognize our graduating high school seniors. So what a very special day that we get to share together. This is the day that God has made, so let us all rejoice and be glad in it. Would you please take a moment now and stand and greet those around you in the name of Christ. As we return to our seats now, let us open our hearts to worship as Wanda leads us into a time of worship. Amen. Thank you, Wanda. Would you stand now as we sing our opening hymn, the old Irish hymn, Be Thou My Vision.
Save that thou art. let us come together this morning and affirm our faith. So, church, I ask you, what is it that we believe? I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead, he ascended into heaven, and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Please be seated. This is kind of a dual emphasis day today for Mother's Day, as well as recognizing our, particularly our graduating high school seniors. And we do pray it is a great Mother's Day for our moms there, out there today especially. And in these moments, as well as we come to pray for our graduating seniors, I want to invite those who are our seniors to come, if you will, along with family. If you would stand behind them, we want to pray for them, bless them. I invite you to come to the altar rail and kneel or stand as you're able to do so. And parents, if you would just come behind them. Okay. As we give the blessing today, I just invite us as a congregation also to reach forward our hands toward these graduating seniors today as well. The great priestly prayer of Numbers says, "The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you, be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you his peace." Dear God, we thank you for your favor, your blessing, as we celebrate these young people and this milestone in their lives. We pray your presence will continually guide them and be gracious to them, yes, Lord, and give them your peace. We ask that you help them to always know how very much they are loved by their family who stand behind them and have stood with them. And especially by you, Lord, may they know your love for them. Remind them how and make them constantly aware that you are always with them. Give them faith to believe your words are true and that your Holy Spirit will guide them. We pray that you would give them health physically, emotionally, mentally, spiritually, and that you would protect them from harm, that you would guide, truly guide their feet to the way of peace. Lord, we ask boldly that you would equip them for every purpose for which you have created them and made them. And as we celebrate this milestone in their lives, we thank you for those other milestones that are yet ahead of them. And we rejoice and celebrate with them in this accomplishment. And pray, Lord, that you would be with them and they would run the race before them well and finish well. And as the proverb said, that they would trust in the Lord with all their heart and lean not on their own understanding, but in all their ways acknowledge you. And then, God, we know you will make their path straight. Thank you, Lord, as we celebrate with them, their family today. And we give you thanks through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And may we all pray together the prayer that Jesus has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Let's express our appreciation to these seniors. Congratulations, Penny. Congratulations. Congratulations. Y'all can return back to your seats. Congratulations.
Good morning, everyone. Come on down. Hello, good morning. Good morning, guys. Now, I know you know what day it is, but I want to make sure. So what is today?
Mother's Day.
Okay, now, before we get started, I want you to turn around and sweetly tell everyone Happy Mother's Day.
Happy Mother's Day.
Thank you. That went way better than what I was imagining. So, now, did you know that one of the reasons we celebrate Mother's Day is because of how much mothers sacrifice for us? So sometimes we do something special for them on this day or give them a gift. And many times whenever we need it most, our mothers are a great comfort to us. Just right there.
Okay. You know, that reminds me of something in the Bible. I'll give you a hint. It's an amazing gift that was left for us when Jesus returned to heaven to be with his Father. Remember, Jesus promised us a helper, and that helper is the Holy Spirit. We don't see the Holy Spirit because he lives inside of those of us who make Jesus our Lord and Savior. Even though we can't see the Holy Spirit, we know that he brings comfort and helps us. And isn't that such a wonderful gift? Let us pray together. God, even though we can't see you, we know you are real. We also know your Holy Spirit is real. Thank you for the comfort you bring us through the gift of your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's give Miss Kelly a hand, y'all. Amen.
The ushers are going to come forward for the offering in these moments. But I was also reminded with Kelly that mothers who give comfort sometimes need comfort too. We are grateful for that and for the ministry of God's Holy Spirit. Let us pray as we receive the offering today. Good and gracious God, as we think about the wonderful gifts in our lives, we praise you, Lord, for you have made all of them possible, for the gift of family and mothers, for the gift of abundance, manifold blessings you have rained down upon us. Give us glad and grateful hearts for what we have received from you. And Lord, may we, in our acts of stewardship, give back to you that which you've given to us. Through Jesus we pray. Amen.
Oh,
Let us remain standing for our scripture this morning. Our scripture comes from John chapter 14, verses 15 through 21, and the word of God reads as follows. If you love me, keep my commands, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Whoever has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me. The one who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love them and show myself to them. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. Good morning to all of you, mothers and fathers, church family alike. Good morning to all of you. As I scan the room, I see some amazing mamas in the house, and I give God thanks for each of you. I just want to take a moment to do, if you don't mind, to do a shout out to my mama. She is watching online today, and I just want to say hi, mama. I just left her a couple of hours ago, but she's sitting in bed with laryngitis, so I want to be her voice. Hi, mama. Happy Mama's Day. Thank you guys so much. And my dad, I know he's not far from her. He's got to be sitting next to her. Hi, Daddy. Love you, too. So I start this morning because there's so many reasons to be thankful for the nurturing and love that God has given us to give unto others. And I, even though I don't have children, God uses this season to remind me of how many children I have influenced. Yesterday, my sister-in-law allowed me the opportunity to spend time for us to spend time with my nephew yesterday. So we went over to Gulfport and had a beach day with him. And you never know what arises in you with something so little. He's 3 years old, and he's a little three-year-old, and I decided to, when my mom and dad sat back on the bench, I decided to take him into the sand, and we walked along the shore to be able to feel the water hitting his feet, and he was so amazed with the fact that this water was coming towards his feet, and I guess I didn't have a good enough grip on him, but he snatched away from me, and y'all, he ran into that water, and I do not know how to swim, but let me tell you something, I knew how to swim yesterday, because I went into that water, and I got him, and I'm standing in the shallow end. You know I have to be dramatic. I'm standing in the shallow end. Help, help, help. Like, we're standing. We're okay. We're okay. So I pull him out of the water, and he's covered in water, and he's, you can tell that he's tasting the sand. Like, what is that in my mouth? And he's looking all around, and all of a sudden I'm looking at him, and I'm like shaking him. Are you okay? Are you okay, baby? And he looks at me, and he goes, oh, I got you, TT. Wasn't that something? I got you, TT. I said, no, baby. God got both of us today. So a blessed mother story to start this day out. But I wrote this sermon this week having mamas like Kelly on my mind, mamas like Bonnie. I was channeling so many mamas in our church, so many mamas that I have spent time with, my mother, my grandmothers, those of you that have been mothers and grandmothers. I tried so hard this week to channel all of you, as many of you as I could, into my thoughts and my minds, our preschool workers and teachers, those that are in our nursery, as I tried so hard to channel in the spirit of mothers to be able to pray and to write our sermon on this morning. And as I looked at John chapter 14, verses 15 through 21 in our scripture reading, the scripture reads in such a beautiful way in its context. It's heartbreaking in a way because Jesus is letting his children, that's how I envisioned the disciples as his children. The disciples are very much like his children in this text. And that he is letting them know that he will provide for them. He is telling them that he is leaving, but he is leaving them with the most excellent babysitter, an advocate, a comforter, and the Spirit of Truth. That's how I envisioned the text this week. And as Jesus prepares his heart for the unimaginable act of crucifixion, his children, the disciples, have no idea what Jesus means by, I am leaving you. As disciples approach him with a childlike demeanor, Simon Peter asks, Lord, where are you going? In John 13, 36, and Jesus answered, where I am going, you cannot follow me now, but you will follow me afterward. Jesus assures the disciples that he will not leave them orphaned. What an important piece of this scripture. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. And that promise of the Holy Spirit will teach you everything and remind you of all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. The assuredness that Jesus leaves with his disciples is that no matter what, I am going to be with you, and all that you do through me and in my name will glorify the love that I have for you, the love that you have for me, and the love that you have for my Father. All that is required to receive this promise is to follow Christ's command. Love. L-O-V-E. As we think about Mother's Day and the recognition of the love that parents have given to their children who are growing into seniors in high school, as we've seen today, and beyond, none of this is possible without the presence of God's love. However, we also think of the pain the memories of this day bring, as many are traumatized by the loss of their mothers, and we remember them, the loss of their children, the broken communication and family dynamics, the destroyed family relationships that make the words mother and child seem so distant and so cold. We can't acknowledge this day without realizing the neglect, pain, distance, confusion, loss, trauma, and tragedy that many, even sitting next to us, are going through today. We can be sure that some churches may be a little smaller in attendance today because not everyone has the heart to celebrate this day. As we meditate on this scripture this morning, we are reminded of the emotions that Jesus felt as he sat before his disciples, holding a painful reality ahead of him. He knew what the emotion of losing his mother would feel like. He knew what the emotion of neglect would feel like as he would be carried throughout the town to be spat on, hit at, whipped, slashed, and gurgling on his own blood for you and for me. Jesus knew the emotion of doubt as he prepared his disciples to continue his ministry. He knew that his time was not his own on this earth. He knew who his Father was and who he belonged to. He was the Son of God, and he did not doubt that his suffering would be to the glory of his Father and the salvation of our sins. Yet and still, his first inclination is to care for his disciples. Jesus said, in John 13:33-35, little children, I am only a little longer with you. You will look for me as I said to the Jews, so now I say to you, where I am going, you cannot come. I give you a new commandment, that you love one another just as I have loved you. You also should love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. Earlier this year, a friend of mine tragically lost her teenage son. He was run down by a speeding car, and his body was left on the side of the road. As friends took to her social media page, they poured out their cries, their anger, and questions towards God. How could this happen? Why would God allow this to happen? My heart goes out to you and your family. Johnny and I feel so bad for you. We know there's nothing we can do, but we just are sorry for all that has happened. And her response to the hundreds of tributes that went across her page was quite humbling. She finally wrote a response that said the following: Dear friends, I thank you for your concern and love for me and my family. Please know that we are not grieving in the way that you think. My husband and I rejoice that God gave us these brief years with our son when doctors originally told me that I could not have children. We knew that God gave our son to us as a gift, and we have always known that we would have to give him back. Being his mother was my calling, but God is to whom he belongs. I asked God to bless me with a child, and he gifted us with just that. My son was given to us by God, which means that the only command given to me was not to argue with God when he took his gift back into his kingdom for work beyond our greatest understanding, but that I love the gift of the child he has given me. Now I am left with many memories of the gift God chose to bless me with. I will now take my love for my son and give it to some other child devoid of love. Being that my son belonged to his Father God, he is now receiving the greatest love of all in the bosom of Christ. God has comforted me that my service, my ministry, and my moments have been pleasing in his sight, and I will not hate him, I will not question him, nor will I doubt him. If you love us, you will give God glory as well. All glory and honor is yours, God. Amen. Humbling. The promise that Jesus gives us is that of the Holy Spirit as our comforter. Jesus knew the pain we would feel and that we could not do this life without guidance and comfort. In Greek, the word for Holy Spirit is, as we know or may not know, Parakletos, and its root meaning has so many ways around it, but alongside is one of my favorites. And it can signify a variety of roles: comforter, encourager, exhorter, helper, appealer, and advocate. The arrival of the Spirit, the Paraclete, ensures that the revelation of God in the incarnation does not end with Jesus' final death. The lesson of the Holy Spirit is to remind us of Christ's words to be with us always. On that day, you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. The Holy Spirit is an indwelling relationship of Christ's love for us. It is because of God we have in Christ that we can love others in motherhood and beyond. Our love for God motivates us to keep his commandments, and when we obey God's commands, we can fully experience and give God's love to others. As I reflect on my friend's response to the death of her child, I use tragedy to illustrate the promise of the Holy Spirit. Jesus was facing a tragic death. But his first desire was to let his disciples know that amid your questions, your unawareness, and your lack of understanding even, I need you to know that not only do I love you, but I'm going to ensure that my love guides you because of the love my Father God gives me. Jesus did not want the disciples to concentrate on the tragic events that were about to occur, but to rejoice that I am going to the Father because the Father is greater than I. When we think of how Christ loved his disciples, we can understand how the Holy Spirit provides guidance and comfort to us and to mothers' ministry to love their children and to love others in the world. Number one, Christ's love abounds in love and forgiveness. And we see that in Psalm 86:5. Number two, faithfulness that endures forever. That love that Christ gives is found in Psalm 117, too. Number three, his love never quits and is eternal in moments of oppression, Psalm 136, 11. He delights in you. He delights in us with gladness, and his love calms our fears, Zephaniah 3:17. And then the greatest love, God so loved the world that he gave us his one and only Son, John 3:16. And there is nothing that can separate us from the love of God, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature, Romans 8:39. This is how God loves us. A sacrificial love that allows us to love others with the hope, compassion, guidance, and devotion that God has loved us. The love that we share with others is only because of the love of God that resides within us. Being a mother, guiding others, and leading others in a fallen world, these are hard callings. The world's fallen nature makes it challenging to exert love when it presents choices of sin, defeat, and oppression to our children and our youth. A mother's love isn't just a mother's love on good days. A mother's love is strong enough to reach the bullying behind the school walls. A mother's love is strong enough to break the barriers of oppression when her child is in prison. A mother's love is strong enough to hold her child when addiction takes them away. A mother's love is strong enough to love her child beyond the temper tantrums and disrespect before they enter the church on Sunday morning. A mother's love is strong enough to pray for her child, to pray them out of sickness and into the hands of God. A mother's love is strong enough to advocate for them when they know the story is incomplete. A mother's love is strong enough to love again after their wayward child decides to come back home after wreaking havoc and pain on the entire family. A mother's love is strong enough to stand beside her child when they receive their high school diploma, holding back the tears of fear as they watch their child enter into adulthood and into a cruel world. A mother's love is strong enough to comfort her child when they ask, "Why did you leave me, Mama? Why weren't you there for me?" A mother's love is strong enough to admit fault even when she does not get it right. A mother's love is strong enough to say, into your hands I commit my child unto you, God, and let your will be done. The spirit of truth that Christ spoke to his disciples about was a comfort and guide that would never let them go in their strongest or weakest moments. Christ promised the disciples that they will always know him if they know the way to salvation. And John 14:6 says, Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you know me, you will know my Father also. From now on, you do know him, and you have seen him. Jesus did not just leave us with any old promise and with any old babysitter. Jesus left us with the promise of the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth. In a world filled with lies, fake narratives, having the Spirit of truth is the greatest gift Father God could provide to guide us through these most uncertain days. Someone once asked me in a pastoral setting, why would Jesus leave us the Holy Spirit? I mean, it doesn't say much. Well, Christ left us with the Holy Spirit because of four reasons that I've learned to come to answer that question. Number one, the Holy Spirit is trustworthy. Number two, the Holy Spirit would never mislead or misguide us. Number three, the Holy Spirit would never deliberately conceal information. And number four, there is only one valid truth, and it connects the nature of this Spirit to the nature of Jesus himself. The Holy Spirit permanently resides in those who express faith in Christ, as 1 Corinthians 12:13 tells us. There is a need for prayer for those who do not believe in Christ. Those who reject Christ don't see Christ, so they don't see God. John 8:24 tells us, I told you that you would die in your sins, for you will die in your sins unless you believe that I am he. There is much to pray for on this Mother's Day, just like there is much to celebrate on this Mother's Day. Growing up, I remember this familiar saying that the prayers of a mother or a grandmother were heard especially by God. What we know is that the prayers of the righteous do avail as much. And whether you are a parent or not, there are many in need of prayer on this morning. Souls who are neglected by love, those who have broken relationships with their families, the following steps and the next steps that our high school seniors will take at this church and beyond, the celebration of life for mothers in the ER waiting to deliver their bundle of joy, the mourning of life for mothers in the ER who will not get to take their bundle of joy home today, mothers who are grieving the unthinkable and the unimaginable, mothers who have been shamed because of their choices, and the list goes on. I think about the environment of John chapter 14. The disciples had so many emotions, and Jesus exuded an unfathomable love into their distress. I look over the passage at the comforting words Jesus uses to ensure peace to his disciples. But you will see me, in verse 19. I am in the Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. That's an intimate relationship. Verse 20, those who love me will be loved. And it ain't no shabby kind of love either. It's the only kind of love that can fill the deepest voids that we have. I will love them and reveal myself to them. Meaning I want to show you the intimacy of the love that I have for you so that it can be seen, shown, and believed. And we will come to them and make our home with them, in verse 23. The Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Lord will send, will teach you everything and remind you of all that I've said to you. Verse 25, Jesus letting his disciples know, you will not do this without me, because I will be there with you. And peace, a peace that is not even understandable, but so comforting, that I will leave with you. My peace I give to you. The scripture is filled with the comforting words that Jesus uses to ensure that his presence is always with us And it's that comfort and that encouragement that helps us, and that love that helps us to love others the way that we know Christ has had to love us. And the love we give as mothers, aunts, grandmothers, sisters, friends, leaders, mentors, advocates, prayer warriors, and the list goes on. It is easy to feel abandoned or neglected in the challenges of giving love. In this discourse on Jesus' farewell to the disciples, Jesus is bringing us the good news that he knows what the pain and joy of giving and receiving love feel like. And he wants to encourage us to always feel his love for us through the presence of the Holy Spirit that will live inside of us. The relationship of love to Christ's commandment is to love me, to love others, and to obey my commandments. This is the God we need to know. Sometimes we too feel alone or even abandoned. We feel lost, wondering if our pain is being heard, seen, or acknowledged. And in those moments of heartbreak, we can remind ourselves that the God we know abides in us. We need this comfort when we are about to graduate, about to send our children into the cold world of adulthood, have anxiety about being a good mother, have stress about what the future holds, or when we are mourning the loss of a family member, a friend, a child, a pet, a memory, an opportunity. We must know that God is with us when the test results are in. We must need to know that God is with us when the news breaks our hearts and seems to show no hope for society. I take these following words of encouragement from a sermon preached at Heritage Presbyterian Church in Acworth, Georgia in May of 2017. And it reads, "In these moments and countless others, we need to declare that this is the God we know, a God who continues to be present with us with the spirit of truth beyond what the world can understand. We know a God who is more than anything that can happen, a God who dwells in us in love and kindles in us a love for Christ that holds us close and stands up for us in ways that lead to mercy, grace, and peace. That is the God described by Jesus, still at work today through the Holy Spirit, a God who does not leave us as orphans, but remains in us." As we continue to reflect on this Mother's Day and all that God has given us, there are so many images that I hold of how God is present with us and how God uses us. I remember the first building I moved into in New York City. It wasn't shabby because, you know, if you can't afford to live in New York City, but people do. It wasn't shabby. I lived in a box. I had a lamp and a futon, and that's all that would fit in it. But I had a next-door neighbor, had several next-door neighbors on my hallway, and most of them were single women. And here's this young Southern girl with a country accent moving onto their floor, throwing their world into disarray because every time they come out of their little apartments, I'm saying, "Good morning, God bless you, how are things?" And they're looking at me like, "We do not speak in New York." But I continued to have that moment with them, and I hadn't been there for much longer at all when prices around this time, prices for childcare had definitely gone up in the city, and most of the programs for free childcare had a long waiting list. And I would get home usually around 2 p.m. from the school that I taught at, and I would get home, and they would usually hear me either cooking or singing loudly, and they would knock on the wall. Sometimes I'd have my gospel music playing. I would go between gospel music and Tupac. That was just where I was in my life at that time, so they would hear either of them. But they would start to knock on my door one by one and ask, "Can you keep my child for a little while, for a few hours?" "Sure, come on in." And before you knew it, I started having in this small little box so many children that were around me that I would keep for a few hours. And I became this free daycare service. But the joy that it gave and the moments of God being there. And there's this picture that I could not put on the slide because in this picture I'm surrounded by a couple of children and they're pulling on every which sort of way, so it was a little inappropriate, so I couldn't bring the picture in because I didn't want you to see everything. But they're sitting there, and we're all sitting there, and our air conditioner had gone out in New York City, and there's a window and a fan blowing, and all these children sitting around me in sweat, and the presence of God is the smile on our faces. And I carry that image with me because it was the closest that I had become in that moment to being motherhood and being able to care for other children. And it was the care that God gives us to be able to do that, the care that God gave to be able to care for the neighbors that were on that floor, and the trust that they gave to be able to put their children in my care. It's an example of Christ wanting us to put our all into him, our trust, our love, our obedience, and our commandments. And as we go forward in this day, remembering the true nature of motherhood, it is not easy, but the thanks that we give for those that are around us that God gives us, I call them day angels, that God gives mothers. And I'm sure all of us can think of those moments where we didn't have the patience, we didn't have the comfort, we didn't have the means, but boy, didn't God show up in those moments with our children. And I believe that that is a moment to give God many thanks for our mothers and for all that he has done and provided for all of them. Amen? Amen. As we go this morning in our closing prayer, I want to be able to give God thanks this morning for each of you, all of the mothers and all those that support the mothers and all that they do. May God continue to be our comfort and our guide as we continue to do the ministry of motherhood that he's called us to do. Let us bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we come this morning thanking you for being the greatest parent, the greatest guide, the greatest lover, and the greatest advocate. We don't get it right all the time, but God, with your guidance and your love and your help, we thank you for being a good, good God and a good, good parent to us. We come giving thanks for all mothers in all manner and forms today and in all ministries unto children. What a blessing it is to love the blessed gifts of your children. We ask you to be the daily bread of tired mothers. We ask you to be their living water. We ask you to be their source of spiritual and physical strength. And we pray that the same grace that flowed from father to son to us in salvation will flow from mothers to their children. We pray that each mother comes unto you and embrace the goodness of the gospel. We pray for the rhythms of repentance and forgiveness to shape every home. And may we be the church that loves and appreciates our mother's ministry. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Will you please stand and join us in our closing hymn?
you receive this benediction. Lord Jesus, come and fill with thy Spirit, till all shall see Christ only always, living in me, living in us. As we celebrate our mothers today, as we celebrate our graduates today, Lord, may it truly be a blessed and favor-filled day. And send us forth, Lord, in the power of your Spirit, to love and obey as you've called us. And we give you thanks, Lord, in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Go in the peace of Jesus.